Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Naturopathic Futures Conversations. I am thrilled to have a sit down with an incredible practitioner and somebody who has been in a profound leadership role over the past few years that has taken her all the way across the world and has many different parts of our profession, and some of them that feel like they're hidden behind closed doors that we don't get access to. But every time I have interactions with Hannah, I always get really cool insights, larger part of this kind of ecosystem that we play in as naturopathic practitioners. Current president of the NHAA, Hannah Boyd.
Thanks for having me, Tammy. Lovely to be here. Thanks for such a... That's lovely.
No, it's all true. I do love our interactions, love our profession, and I know that you share well. And part of being in the profession, always want to know the backstory. How did you get into the profession?
Well, I mean, very similar to most people when it comes to how I ended up at naturopathy. And I always think there's very lucky people that have had sort of two careers in my life that I'm very passionate about. I was a film editor, worked in film and TV here and in the UK before I was a naturopath. The industry where you have to work very, very hard, you've got a terrible work-life balance, 100%. You're in dark rooms 13, 14, 15 hours a day and always for the next job and working. And I loved it, you know, the pace of it. And one of the things I liked about it was it's actually really collegiate kind of behaviour. Sharing, mentoring is actually built into every step of part of making a film or a TV show. And so I guess when I changed careers, you know, that's definitely something that you miss when you're sitting in your clinic on your own. So I think I've definitely tried to search that out through my clinic and through the role I do at the NHAA as well. But I guess I was definitely one of those kids that parents, you know, took them to the Chinese herbalist, and I was, we had our Blackmore's garlic and horseradish tablets when we were sick and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And when I lived in the UK in my early 20s, I would go shopping to this health food store in Kentish Town called Natural Remedies, and I loved it so much. You know, I just loved all the food. I bought that Healing with Whole Foods book, which is just like a classic book that I think everybody has, and it was the first book I saw. I said, oh, wow, there's so much more about food and nutrition and lifestyle that I need to know. I was that friend that when anyone was sick, I would like give them some herbs or take them to the shop, you know, and I didn't really know what I was doing. But so when I was working in film and I had a hearing imbalance condition that got quite severe and I had to change my work, it wasn't a fun story. It was pretty disastrous.
Yeah, especially in audiovisual, like having the tool that you use be impacted so intensely.
Yeah, it was pretty intense. And I still have, you know, I'm pretty deaf. That's why I kind of talk really loudly sometimes and I get dizzy sometimes. And it was pretty bad, to tell you the truth. And I was really, really miserable about what I was going to do with my life because I couldn't work anymore. And obviously when you put that much effort into something to have it sort of taken away, it was pretty disastrous. And I kind of, you know, was miserable on the couch for a little while. And then one day I said, just pick yourself up, Hannah, for God's sake, you know, and I was seeing a homeopath and a herbalist and I was doing all the things and I was looking at what to do. And I was like, I'm going to go study massage. Yeah, that's what I'll do. And I was looking on the website and I was like, no, naturopathy, that's exactly what I need to do. And when I told all my friends and family that that's what I was going to do, it just made sense to everyone. They were like, oh, well, of course, that makes absolute sense. Like, why someone would go from the film industry to naturopathy? It's a bit of a big reach, but and I didn't look back. I was in my late 20s. I didn't have a plan. I just had to make it work. And so I just went into it and did it. So yeah, never looked back. So
wow. I love that. I love that so many of us either have a health journey or, but my favorite, because it happened to me, was that you look up the course and either it's massage or nutrition, but some in between the M and the N is naturopathy.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, all the light bulbs go off for so many of us that was actually the tweak that we needed to really kind of dive into the thing that just made sense for us.
Absolutely made sense. And it's coming from the arts to a sort of science degree. It was a big, big leap. I always joke that I was one of those kids in high school that was like, why do I need to know this, to the science teacher? And she said, you never know. You never know when you'll need this chemistry, Anna. And she was right. So always listen to your teachers, which is a good lesson. But no, it's been a great journey, I think, working. I'm so honoured to help people. I think that that's the best part of this job, really, isn't it? That you learn how to really make a difference in people's lives. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it happens instantaneously from the first subject that you study. You can apply it to somebody that you know or you love or you care about.
I'm the youngest in my family. Sometimes they don't listen to me as much as they should. It is, you get to help people, which is great. I love it. Never look back.
What do you see as the crossover between arts and naturopathy? My background was in cancer research and pathology, and I was so pure science that I went into homeopathy classes and thought, what, this dichotomy, this is such a different pathway, but now I can see the links. What can you see as the links between the arts and naturopathy?
I guess creative thinking is definitely, you have to bring that to every patient, and that's really what naturopathy is about. There's no cookie cutter protocol. It is sort of driven at certain parts of our profession that people think that that's how you do it. Every patient is an individual, and how you need to approach them and think creatively on how to help them is definitely that link. The art of making a herbal formula, that's a creative process in itself. So I do think there is a lot of creativity in practice, even though it does bring that theoretical grounding. And that's the same with arts in a way. People have, it may look like it just came together really quickly, but there's a lot of practice and theory underneath that light touch that you ingest at the end of watching a film or looking at a piece of art. So I think I definitely like that creative work with patients is something that I like, because they're also different. You learn as much from them as hopefully they learn from you. And you just have to look at them as their own little story. And if you understand the whole story, then you can help them, you know, yeah. And you can't help them unless you get that. And that's the beauty of the work that we do as naturopaths. We have the curiosity to try and draw those dots together. And yeah, that's, for me, is what makes the job the best.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I was thinking, as you were talking just then, about my dad was in photography and audiovisual for the Defence Forces. And I remember spooling out film, rolling it all out and seeing the story evolve across, so many frames. And when we're talking to our clients, they just evolve and you're not quite sure where the story is going to take you. And sometimes it's even to the point where they're just about to leave and they grab their hand on the door and then they drop that bomb of something that they should have told.
It's like, could you have told me that at the beginning of this 45-minute appointment?
Yeah, but then there's the art of moving with that and just, hold on a second. And here's the other thing I need to plug in there as you're leaving the door, you know. I really got that while you were saying that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. So art also has principles, whether it's painting or the principles of light and the principles of three different types of light sources in film and things like that. There's some real principles. And what I love about naturopathic practices, got to talk to you at one of the recent NHAA conferences about the principles and present on it, to be honest. And it's one of my favorite things is to find out, what naturopathic principle do you really love, almost aligned to, given your breadth of experience and understanding?
I mean, I also love our philosophical approach to treatment. I think it's so unique. There are the traditional medicines in the world that have that, and it's really wonderful that we have that. But I do think it takes time as a practitioner to learn how to understand them into practice. Like, you learn them theoretically. Well, in my course, when I learned, you kind of learn them in year one, and it was really hard to kind of put them in to clinic and placement. And the longer I do this job, the more respect I have for those philosophical practices of naturopathic medicine and how those philosophies should inform how we treat people, but how it's kind of like a little template for our lives as well. Like, if you're living that sort of naturopathic life, which there is no perfect way to do that, it's just the way that we have that, bringing some of those philosophies in, you can do for yourself as well as your patients, right? So that's like that holism thing. So I guess, what are my favorite? That's tough. I'm always a person that sort of hedges a bit. But I think treat the whole person for me is something that I have to live by in my practice, because as we just discussed, you have to look at the whole story of that person. A good example is, I had a teacher the other day. Teachers have terrible schedules, to get stuff done, and they have to be there early and they're often late and they don't eat lunch. And if you don't understand what their life is like, then if you say, no, you need to do all these things at this certain time, they're never going to do it. I wanted them to do a SIBO test, and I was like, listen, I think we might have to wait to school holidays to do it, because you probably won't have time to do it. So it's just little simple things like that of understanding the whole person and everything about their life that does that. But I also, I think the most powerful thing that often naturopaths underestimate is a naturopath as teacher, doctor as teacher, because that is like what we can teach our patients. It is so valuable. You know, we are so much more than just a bottle of supplements or a bottle of herbs. And I think understanding that is of huge value. I think a lot of naturopaths sort of don't understand the value of that. They feel like they need to overcompensate and oversell and, you know, overservice because of it. But actually the time that you spend teaching your patients about how to care for themselves, how to recognize patterns in their body, that is so powerful. And the longer you do this job, the more you can see the impact of that. Like I have patients I've been seeing for a decade or more, and they remember things that I told them, you know, and they live by that. And that's really lovely when you hear that stuff, but it changes their lives, but it changes their families and their friends' lives because it, you know, so that is when you educate someone about their bodies, they'll never forget it. So yeah.
I couldn't agree more. It's absolutely my favorite one, I'm afraid. I do have a lean towards doctor as teacher. And I feel that ripple effect every time we share something and someone says, why don't they teach this in high school? You know? And I have the same clients come back and say, oh, well, I just finally got around to telling my daughter about that. And now she's told all of her friends about that particular thing to do with her body. And it's like teaching another language. You know, it's such a profound and useful thing for so many different places and spaces that they have for the next decades of their lives. It's, yeah. I remember this time, I was probably my first maybe two, maybe third year out. And I completely agree with you that we underestimate the power of the therapeutic education that we have, and that over delivery that we feel like we're, you know, overcompensating for imposter syndrome by making complicated treatment plans or making sure that they've got one of every single, you know, vitamin and nutrient and
being like over available, you know, like not having clinical boundaries and, you know, like all of that stuff. We've all made those mistakes and it's fast track to burnout, but that 45 minutes or an hour, how long, that's gold for that patient. They never get that time with any other health professional unless they're lying face down on the massage bed or something, right, and not talking. So, yeah, it is so valuable. It makes a difference to their treatment in every way.
Yeah, so. And that's in and of itself, 45 minutes in a masterclass of your own body is valuable. It's worth the money that they spend on you. I remember that hitting home in the second or third year, instead of me handing bottles and overcomplicating things, I just remember I didn't give them anything but some gold nuggets about their body, and they were just, oh.
Yeah. I know, you think back, God, did I email that person and just make sure they're over service and just make sure they're okay? No, I do think we do learn, you learn so much, and that confidence building as you go along through your clinical experience is really, it makes a huge difference. But living those naturopathic philosophies, they're so important to what we do, you know? And I think if you look at any of the research behind how naturopaths treat and the impact that they have, if you're looking at those whole practice studies that are happening all around the world, and Australia is so amazing at doing naturopathic research, it is about the impact in preventative health, in lifestyle medicine, in non-communicable diseases, all of that stuff it's worth so much. And we cannot underestimate the role that we have in the health of not just your patients, but the community, and making that accessible is just, yeah, it's so important. So
yeah, absolutely. What you touched on there is the global impact that Australia is making. And I know as your role at the NHAA, you also have experience with being part of the World Naturopathic Federation and being behind those closed doors, a bit like when we learn about the World Health Organization and we think, oh, wouldn't that be amazing to be part of a conversation like that? Well, we have the World Naturopathic Federation and the research that goes into that, our impact on a global scale in those closed doors. Could you give us a little insight into what some of the biggest challenges are for naturopathy given that you've been in these conversations, especially this past year.
Yeah, what an amazing organisation in its 10th year. And Australians have really been at the forefront of keeping that organisation thriving. So incredibly proud of every Australian that puts a hand up to volunteer for that role. It's all volunteer organisation. I think there's a couple of people at the top that get, you know, the CEO gets a salary, but everyone else who is involved in the committees and the work and the research is all volunteers. It's an incredible group of people. So yeah, I've just got back from Brazil where we had the General Assembly and spending 3 days with people from all over the world who are naturopaths who care passionately about the profession. I mean, you know, it's like, what a nerd out dream it is to be there and do that stuff. But the challenge is, I mean, the good thing is Australia, we are not a problem child for the WNF in a way. Like, we are a poster child for what we do here in Australia, the level of education.
So let me stop you for a second. Inside our groups, our Australian practitioner groups, sometimes we can really feel like we have all of these problems as a profession. Like,
no, we have all the problems. Don't get me wrong. There's problems everywhere.
Yeah.
But how we do things here in Australia and the example that some of those amazing people that have, you know, been the beacon of naturopathic medicine and research across the world is, you know, we're seen as very organized, very professional, and also a lot of fun as well, I would say.
I love that. I love seeing that from a bigger perspective, that we're seen as that real kind of beacon for the profession. I love that.
I mean, if you look at it, is really, and I remember, you know, the first time I went and met with people from the WNF, and you meet people from North America, and you're like, oh, wow, they're so organized. They actually look at us and go, oh, they're so organized. They have so much going on. We all have the same problems, regardless of where we are. Like, we're all struggling with an unregulated environment. We're all working towards improving education standards. The education we have in Australia for naturopaths and for herbalists is absolutely amazing, really amazing, and some of the best in the world, I would say. And that should never be, you know, the way that education, the government recognises it and puts the standard there is without a doubt, definitely poster child. Because some of the countries that we're working with at the WNF are from all over the world. They have, you know, tiny little diplomas, or, you know, in France, it's really hard to study to become a naturopath, but there's naturopaths there. So everywhere you go, everyone has different education standards. And that education standard really is the basis of what builds the profession, I think. So in terms of advocacy, you know, all, you know, different countries have different sort of ways of being, but we're doing okay, considering we've got a long way to go. But yeah, being at those conversations, looking at what they're doing, the work they're doing with the WHO at the moment with the traditional medicine strategy, which is incredible work, you know, and shout out to Amy Steele, you know, and the work that she's doing, which is just putting naturopaths and naturopathic medicine at the very, you know, topical conversations on that world. It's just amazing.
Her body of work.
Yeah,
in research is,
yeah, you know, like, she is just, you know, have people so passionate and so constantly driven. I don't want to make that sound like a bad word that she's driven, but she keeps making the work that matters, and that's the kind of passion that you really do see from so many people at the WNF. It's a wonderful experience. I'm very honoured to be there and help represent Australia. So yeah, everyone does good. We look good on the global stage. Let me tell you that way.
That is so reassuring, honestly. Yeah. Like, it can sometimes be when you're in your own backyard and you're having a little infighting and all that kind of stuff, you don't really see outside to see what the other backyards can look like and how fun it can actually be.
Yeah.
So it's really good to hear. So when you do get together, you do talk about those bigger challenges, whether it's unregulated profession, not enough research. But what do you see, given your experience as a practitioner, as your role in NHAA and on a global scale, what do you see is our actual biggest challenge as a profession?
Where do I start? There's a few things that I like to see change, and I'm doing my best with a wonderful team to try and build some change into the future that we have as a profession. I think working in an unregulated environment is challenging, mainly for public safety more than anything else. It's not about us having a gold star saying, look at us, we're fabulous. We know that we're good at what we do. But when it comes to the public knowing who we are, we would be busier. We would have more health influence and more involvement across allied health spectrum if we worked in a regulated space, giving us ownership of title, knowing that what a naturopath is. That is a huge challenge to many things, and a regulated environment would actually fix a lot of problems that people complain about.
And it would contribute to, as you mentioned before, the places and spaces that have been researched of non-communicable diseases, public health, and wider well-being. So, yeah.
It is the fact that anyone can call themselves a naturopath is really confusing for the public, like really confusing. They don't know who we are, what we are. So that's why whenever I'm speaking to new grads or practitioners, like make sure you put your qualifications on your websites. I can't begin to tell you how many websites I look at that they say, I'm a naturopath. It's like, put where you're qualified, be proud of those educations. They're really, really good. And then the public has a lot of confidence in that. I mean, I think having the private health insurance rebates coming back, which is so exciting, just the work that everyone has done to make that happen has been amazing. Like that will also give the public a lot of confidence on what a naturopath is. If you can claim health funds from your naturopath or herbalist, then they have done the checks and balances. And the health funds set very high standards of what they call a naturopath or herbalist, which I think is amazing. And we've done a really great job, I think, to educate them of what we do. So we're really looking forward to seeing some of that information come out over the next few months about what our patients will be able to claim and not claim from us. So that's going to be a really great place, I think. So that's part of it. I think being a profession and being really disjointed, I think a lot of the people in the profession really do feel that there's sides or arguments that happen. But there is a lot of collegiate work that goes on behind the scenes that I think we should be really proud of. So there's a bunch of associations that do different things, that have different philosophies. That doesn't mean that they're all bad and they do different things. People have to join the tribe that they feel most aligned with. And
or tribes. There are multiple tribes. We can be part of lots of them. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, and I think there is a lot of work that goes into it. So, you know, you look at the work that, you know, the WNF by itself, we have a lot of members in Australia. That makes a really nice gang with other associations. We've just this year launched the Assuring Safe and Integrated Practice document, which all associations in Australia, all of them, looked at chapters in that to sign off. So that was a massive piece of work, which will be the vehicle for us to submit for registration of the profession. So there's actually quite a lot of really exciting things happening through that space. And the government has a desire to review how they look at health professions and how to help professions that do need some kind of guardrails for public safety and what they are and how strict they need to be. So does that answer the question?
There are challenges in communication and other bits and pieces that would be lovely to be resolved. But at the same time, like you're saying, the flip side of that coin is there is amazing collegiate things that happen behind the scenes. I was only just reading Judy Jacker's book, Passion and Politics, recently, which was like the first 30 years of the beginnings of associations and college and, you know, these standardization kind of practices. And as much as there was challenges, even back then, you know, 1970s, that there is just as much collegiate working together, agreement to be able to move everything forward. And it's a really interesting thing. The more people that I get it, I'm in a very blessed space of being able to have conversations with lots of people at conferences and other places. And all of you actually say the same thing. Like, we just assume that this one's against this one and this one. But the truth is, in the corridors of parliament and things, you're all saying the same thing and you're all going at the same time to be on the same document, to be able to be moving our profession forward collectively together. And I think that can never be underestimated, the power of volunteers and the power of people working towards the same cause, you know?
And I think, you know, I understand all the arguments as much as I can. I would like to listen to all the sides of the story. And it's not just like there's a bunch of crazy stuff that you have to sit on this camp and therefore you can't have flexibility. I mean, through the history of the NHAA, you know, there's been so many people with diverse ideas and ideas of what they want to do. And I know it's the same for all the other associations as well. And I think the work, you know, I really respect the work of the people that have come before me and will come after me, because it is a teamwork that we have. But I guess in terms of looking at what what the future holds for us, like we need to be able to own that story and tell people what we do. And if we're not at the table, then we don't get to do that. I think that that is what people don't realize. People are concerned of having their scope of practice taken away from them, worried about having their herbs and nutritional supplements taken away from them. But if we're not there having those conversations, then we do lose them. So I think the role of associations is more than just getting your GST exemption certificate and your TGA exemption certificate. It's actually that there's people doing that work for you. Because I know before I was on the board, I was just a clinician sitting in my room talking about poo and periods. You know, like that's what I did all the time. And you're not thinking about that bigger picture apart from like, gee, I wish the medical profession and the world would take us more seriously. So I think having people that can advocate for the profession is just so important.
I agree. I didn't understand what the, like, I was always for associations because I felt since my university days they had my back and they were doing all this wonderful stuff that I had no interest whatsoever in doing.
Because it's not for everyone. It's not for everyone. But,
not like Jeff. But it wasn't until I was learning to fly a helicopter that I understood, oh, there's legislation that sets standards for things that makes things safe. Yeah. And if I don't follow that legislation and I don't know what that legislation is, then the entire profession of flying a helicopter or aviation in general doesn't work. And it's the same for us, except we don't register, a lot of us, when we're doing our poos and periods and conversations, we're not thinking about the professional like the profession conversation. And that takes legislation. It takes being in the room to have really important conversations to the 3.2.1 education standard that meets the criteria of such and such. And that, because that isn't our gift, the poo and period conversation is our gift.
Yeah.
There's this amazing sub cohort of practitioners like you and the people who are on the NHAA team that get to look after that for us.
Yeah, it's a real honor, I have to say. I'm so grateful for the opportunities that what I was putting my hand up for. We're all volunteers in this job. We don't get paid to do the work that we do. My partner's like, so does it make you any money as a practitioner? I said, well, one day.
And the fact that you can continue to stay in a profession.
Yeah.
I think people also take for granted that we are a profession that will stay. None of that is a given, that we are going to be able to continue to be as a profession unless these kind of conversations happen in the background that allow us to be recognised as one. Yeah,
absolutely. No, it's a great conversation and it is complex and we need to honour all parts of it. We need to really have a future focus on what the future looks like. And that doesn't mean ignoring the past and where we've come from. And it doesn't mean not looking at all the other levels of education that we've had. Like, I'm from the advanced diploma age, you know, like that's what I was educated in. That doesn't mean that it was bad education. It just means that now the government has recognized other things. So it's about having that sort of fine nuance of understanding where it all fits in. And I think there's a lot of misinformation about it out there, about what different association, what different ideals they have. And I will, a more personal note, for me, one of the biggest challenges we have is accessibility of our care to people. We all have to make a living, and that's absolutely true. And in this day and age, cost of living crisis is real for naturopaths and herbalists, but also for our patients. And I think we really need to be thinking creatively about how we can make our care accessible for more people. There's been a lot of conversations about inclusive care in terms of understanding our patients and their rights, but when we can... There's such wonderful brackies doing community clinics, sliding scales of care, but it makes it really challenging for them to make a living as well. So we need to understand how we can be more accessible for our patients, because if we just keep putting our prices up, then the people that need the work that can't afford us are also suffering. So I think that for me is a real passion of mine. And when I had my in-person clinic, I mean, my business has changed so many times over the years that I've had my clinic, but I used to offer community days where people could come in. It's hard to do that on a virtual clinic. So I think we just need to be a bit creative about that in terms of understanding accessibility and not making it just for a privileged few, which is a challenge.
I agree. And I love that there are so many experiments running with different practitioners in different situations at the moment, whether they're community care 1 week a month and it's within the context of a government grant that was given out, or whether it is, gosh, there's so many different models. Like you're saying, we've got membership models which decrease the, you know, but increase the connectivity of people with the same kind of emerging conditions and chronic conditions. And we've got others who are working really hard in their clinic to make it accessible to their more affluent areas so that they can then go and volunteer over in, you know, the Pacific Islands and places like that. I love that there's so many different options emerging, and I don't think we had that opportunity decades prior to this. I think there isn't a black or white. There's this grey place that we get to play in, either as naturopaths in general, that we're not medical and we're not, you know, one or the other. And what you were saying about whether it's the registration conversation, there's this grey area that we can, there's nuance in this grey area that isn't black or isn't white. Neither of those is wrong. We can be in this grey area with the payment side of things as well, I think, and the service side of things, accessibility.
And understanding, like when you study, you learn to be a clinician. Like that's actually a really important part of your training, that you learn to sit in a room with someone and take their case and understand them in that holistic, using the naturopathic philosophy and principles. That is really important. What they don't teach you is how to necessarily translate that into something a little bit more creative, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
But that's okay, because you're not there to learn, you know, different models of business school. You're there to be a naturopath. And so I think finessing that art is so important for those first 5 years and ongoing. You'll always change how you practice and how you treat people. But I think knowing that the way to help people is not just one-on-one in a room or a virtual room. There's so many other ways that we can use our skills and our tools as naturopaths to help more people. And I think we're seeing so many more people working in government, working in low income, women's shelters, drug and alcohol rehab, Indigenous communities. There's so many ways that our skills are so applicable to help people. And that is, doctor as teacher is really, really the thing that can drive a lot of that stuff. And yeah, maybe they can't afford thousands of supplements, but you know what? You can do a lot without supplements for people's health.
Absolutely.
So
yeah. I love that. So speaking about envisioning, I really love getting leaders in our profession to give us more of a story, if we're going to bring in your editing history, a story, paint us a picture in your experiences, paint us a picture of what you would love the future of the naturopathic profession to look like.
Well, God, how do I do this? Is a bit of a rough cut, I guess, to start with. But I think the one thing I would like is for practitioners to just maintain confidence. I think that is what will drive us forward, having belief in the work that you do and never faltering. It's if you could just pull that insecurity out of everybody and just be like, you're doing a good job, just keep doing it. That for me, I think, would drive our profession beyond to blue sky thinking, because then you would be having people that have that confidence to create and help people in lots of different diverse ways. I think having a regulated profession, having ownership of title, would be a incredible thing for our profession. Because you can't be annoyed with the Sally Joe that opens up down the road and calls themselves a naturopath and a herbalist and a natural practitioner because they haven't done training, but actually not want that for you, you know, to know that that's what it is. So I think it's definitely understanding that role. I think it would be great to see us more integrated in healthcare. We are so good at preventative medicine, and that is a key interest of what the government wants to focus on when it comes to health strategies. I think we need to really play in that field a lot more than we do and have confidence to do that, because we know we have the skills to help those preventative illnesses be better. I'm a Sagittarius, as I always make the joke, and I like to bring people together. That's definitely my, where's the party is definitely my motto in life. So I think having a place where there's respect and understanding what all our roles are would be really important for the profession. Maybe idealistic sometimes, but I don't think you get to do this work without having an idealistic dream of what you'd like and owning it and feeling like we can aim for that as well. So I've got high hopes. I know we do good in our profession. I know the work that people are doing with their patients is so valuable. And I know we can do more. I mean, I know we're all tired and we can't burn out, but at the same time, collectively, if we can encourage more people to study, to learn the skills, to share the skills, to help more people, then it's just that big ripple effect of how we do. Like we're the first biohackers, we're the first lifestyle medicine practitioners. You know, we've been talking about terrain therapy, theory and gut health and period health
for 2,000 years.
That's so long, you know. And we have to own that, you know, yeah. Like we have, that's what we've been doing. That's us, you know, that's those philosophies, principles of naturopathic medicine. So we've got to be proud of that history. And I think if we kind of look back, but keep looking forward, then that's a great future to do. So yeah, that's kind of a rough cut, but
I love that. I love that if we all embrace the confidence with which we're seen globally as a profession on a personal level, and actually ran with respect in an integrative way with other health practitioners. And so we could have a party together. I'm a Sag rising, by the way.
I got a lot of Sag in everything. I don't know what that really means, but there's a lot of Sag everywhere. So yeah, I've got the party happening. So
yeah, and I can see that. I would love to be part of that future where we are recognized, respected, and have the confidence to stand our own ground in the party of the healthcare system. I think it's a wonderful thing that I would love to be a part of too. Thank you so much for your insights and your conversation today, Hannah. And thank you so much for everything you do for our profession. I really appreciate you.
Oh, thank you, Tammy. No, great, great work and great conversation. Happy to have it anytime.
Awesome. If you are interested, we have the links below to continue the conversation with NHAA, WNF. And if you need a referral to somebody who is a great practitioner in New South Wales and online, then the links are there as well to Hannah's clinic. Thanks so much.